Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Good morning, good morning. It's a terrific morning, and it's a good thing I looked at my clock because I was looking at the wrong clock and it was off by 5 minutes, as has been most of my year. Well, today, I gotta say, we got a very special guest. Now, I was listening to this lady and laughing all along before I got contacted by someone who knows her. Never as a guest on my show. And I only wish I'd done it sooner because she is fantastic. And I'm talking about Jean Robertson. I don't know if you've heard of her. If you haven't, you will be. She's known as the granny gone viral, bringing laughter to America. She's this humorist, and I don't know. Well, we're going to talk to her and describe her. But I think what we need to do is go down into the depths of my switchboard here and see if I can be alphabetical, and let's have a sample of her comedy before we bring her on. And Jean, if you're listening, I see you in the hold box, and I'll get to you right after this.
See any humor, I don't mind asking people, tell me something funny. It's a compliment for me when somebody goes on a trip and when they get home, they call me and they say, Jeannie, the funniest thing happened on our trip, and we thought of you. I would rather that happen than them say, we heard some gossip, so I called you first because I know you'd want to hear it. So on an airplane, I would say to a flight attendant, and I remember one trip in particular, how long have you been flying? And she'd say, oh, 17 years. And I said, oh, my goodness, you've seen a lot of funny stuff, because I'm leading up to asking her if she's got something she could tell me. And she said, well, I tell you, after 17 years, there's not a lot of funny stuff that happens with the public these days. And I thought, no, I fly every day, too, and I'm with the public, and I see a lot of funny stuff. But wouldn't you be a happy person to work with every single day? And she left, but she came back. And she said, well, ma'am, I've been thinking about it. There was one funny thing that happened, and I tell you this because I did not see it. I did not overhear it. But I just asked somebody, tell me something funny. And this is what she told me. She said a woman got on the plane, and she was out of sorts, just very upset with everything. And with each complaint, she would hit that irritating flight attendant call button. Ding! This is too cold. Will you please have the pilot make the plane warmer? Ding! I'm sitting in the aisle seat, and I'd rather sit in the windows. Please make that adjustment. Ding! I can't get my bag in the overhead rack. Could you find somewhere to put it? And the plane had not even left the ground. The guy up in the air, and she was in first class of all, and they served some kind of a meal, a piece of meat of some kind, and some beans with corn in there or something, and a baked potato in tinfoil, and the flight attendant left. And before she could get back to the galley, this woman hits that ding. She went back, and the woman said, this is a bad potato. Flight attendant picked up the potato, said, bad, bad, bad potato.
That was great. Hey. Let's bring her on. Am I saying your first name right?
Actually, no, it's Jeannie, as though popping out of a bottle, but it's not as that'd be terrible.
Jeannie. You know, when I saw the spelling of it, I was like going, I know I'm not saying this right. I was going to get all southern. No, that's Jean.
I'll answer to anything. How you doing? Happy New Year to you, Nancy.
Happy New Year to you. And I have been listening to you because whenever I'm on the road doing comedy, I have the Sirius channel. And I've been listening to you, and I believe I've seen you on television as well going, and it would be on the oddest channels. It would just be like flipping through, and I'd stop because you would just captivate me because I said, this woman is tall. What? And then I'd hear the southern accent, and then I'd hear the funny coming out of you, and I was going, oh, my gosh, what am I watching? Then I'd be on info. Who is this?
Well, I'm flattered because I think the one thing I would have in common with you would be the funny. Now, the tall and the southern might not get in there.
Well,
because
actually,
aren't you about 5'4"?
Yes. How did you know? You must have researched me.
Well, no, my right leg is not fine. You know, it goes on. But I've heard of your work, too, so we have a mutual admiration society. And this is all new to me. You know all about the comedy world, and I've come through from another whole area. But I'm having a ball, Nancy, just having a good time.
Oh, you are. And actually, and we'll go back and forth in the dialogue. I just had some samples of your comedy. But what I really liked about your storytelling is that I am a aficionado of comedy through the years, mm-hmm. and you reminded me of Andy Griffith.
Oh, my gosh, I'm flattered. Of course, he started, as I have read and studied and even wrote a book a long time ago on the fact that each of the episodes now in the Andy Griffith Show correspond with things that are happening in today's world. I mean, you have a lot of time in hotel rooms to write this kind of stuff. But Andy Griffith, I believe, started as an after-dinner speaker.
He was a monologist,
yes.
and he would go, now this reminds me of a story.
yep. Now, I don't know. This is what is written in some of the books that I studied when I was writing mine, and I've never interviewed him. But as I understand it, he had been working on a new piece of material, and he and his wife were on the way to do a banquet speech in North Carolina. And as I understand it, they halfway there, they dawned on him that he'd been there the year before. So panic, and so he hurriedly said, "Well, I've been working on this other thing," and as I understand it, that was what it was football.
Football.
Yeah, what it was football, which later became a record at the time, and then of course was best top gold everything about the going to see a football game and not knowing what it was. But he was one of the ones, and of course you say I study the old comedians, but actually I am an old person. So
yeah.
I'm 68 years old, but I've been in another world for 48. I like a lot of the older people, and I guess they affected
us. Well, it's the delivery. You're in that category of comedians who, and I consider them comedians, but they're more in the storytelling ilk, and the fact that you use your the style. It's the style that I like so much because I never know where you're going with it. I think I think I'm going to play it later. I think I have it, but it's the bungee jumping one where
don't bungee jump naked.
Yes.
Have
wanted to take a young person's head between your hands and crush it. But
Are you even in there? That's what you want to say.
That was hilarious.
There's another thing, Nancy, that if you notice, the first people that we heard first on the radio and, of course, then on television, and the younger people say, oh, my word, this is so long ago. But for me to watch these people, they had to craft their stories with enough words without throwing out a four-letter word in the middle of it, and I'm no prude, but to get a laugh. Their whole story had to rely on the craftness of the words and the cleverness of what they were writing. And so I guess that had a big influence on people of my generation, too. Like when Bill Cosby tells about going to the dentist and they put Novocaine in, his mouth swells up and he can't talk, we all sit there and say, the same thing happened to me, the same thing. So they're painting pictures with words, New Heart, all the early ones, Hope, all the
New Heart. You are like New Heart.
I'm flattered. Oh, I'm even flattered. I mean, when he's telling how to teach people to drive, and we have people in today's world who do the same things, in my world, the convention world, I never was called a comedian. I was called a humorist.
A humorist was nice. Yes, I like that. You are a humorist in that, but it does remind me of when the albums I used to listen to, like Bob Newhart, and where they would tell a story. Well, with Bob Newhart, his second player was the guy at the other end of the phone.
Yes, absolutely.
So how did you get started? Because this isn't what you started out to do.
No, well, I'm a physical education major from Auburn, when I was 19 and then I turned 20, I'm 6'2" tall and I entered a beauty pageant. I'd never been in one, but I won it. And I was Miss North Carolina and I went up to the Miss America, we say in the South, the Miss America pageant, and didn't win, but that year, I gave over 500 speeches, Nancy. I mean, pageants take a lot of criticism, and some of it is definitely deserved and a lot of it is not, but I had a chance at age 20 then to get on my feet and speak over 500 times, and I found out within a week that I could make them laugh, and when they laughed, I loved it. I just loved it. And when the year was over, people would say, can you come and we'll pay you $50 and we'll pay, you know. I went all the way to Biloxi, Mississippi for $50, and that included my expenses from North Carolina.
So
I'm not real smart.
That's
right. That's right. But then the convention market is so big, and it's just huge in this country. And I was a non-celebrity professional speaker who was known as a humorist. And so for 40-some years, I went around speaking at conventions. And the difference is this. When people go to a convention, Nancy, they're going to go to Vegas or you know, Boston, wherever the convention is, because their company's sending them. That's what they want to go, the whole convention. They're not coming to see Jeannie Robertson. She's one of the speakers on the program. And in this new world that I'm now embarked on, where you go to big theaters and you sell your tickets on Ticketmaster, they get in their car and they come see you. And the reason that I'm able to do this in the last 3 years, it's unbelievable, is because of technology. I had a couple of YouTube clips that went viral. And then SiriusXM started playing me every day. They had a special earlier this month where I was live 2 hours. And it all became about because before all this great social media, the meeting planners were really the only people that you needed to know who you were, because you could be as busy as you wanted to be because of this number. There are over a million conventions in the United States every year. And
yeah.
So
yeah,
you could just go, go, go.
I performed at them. I performed at numerous conventions, writing shows and being in shows for them, or just putting together shows. And I noticed what I like about what you do is you manage in a sneaky way in the middle of your comedy to sneak in their message.
Well, that's the difference. And people always say, well, why do you call yourself a humorist and a comedian? I said, well, the comedian's goal is just to make you laugh. Now, some of the people may be a little offended, you know, but if they go to a comedy club, I'm sorry, that's what they expect. But the humorist goal is we want you to laugh just as long, just as hard, but in the end, we have to get across a little message that you and the person who's writing your check have agreed will be in there.
Oh, yes, and I know
so
that from working for corporations where you can take some material and apply it to their event. And, I have to get in here before anything. Do you like classical music, by the way?
I do.
All right. Well, I got to get in here because I'm voluntarily sponsoring today's show for a very good cause, and it's a tribute to Horowitz with Lola Hastanova. And
oh, my
this
gosh.
Is going to – do you know her?
No.
She's terrific. You've got to know her. You got to look this woman up at www.lolahastanova.com. But this is a terrific tribute to Horowitz. And she's playing Chopin, Rachmaninoff at the Stern Auditorium, Perlman Stage, Carnegie Hall. And guess who's going to be there? Donald Trump and Julie Andrews.
You're
and I
kidding.
Just wanted to get a plug out because this is for a very good cause, and the American Cancer Society. And we always want to plug them. And
absolutely.
I just said, so Lola, today, this and the tribute to Horowitz, Lola, you're my official sponsor. I'm letting you be my sponsor for today. I'm volunteering the sponsorship. No remuneration was given to me, I have to
That's
say that.
That's right. Let me ask a question then. Exactly when is it and where and what should
people
do?
Oh, you're so good. It's January 19th at 8 p.m. at Carnegie Hall. And you can go to www.carnegiehall.com, and you'll see it. This is a terrific, terrific cause, and I want to get there. And you've probably done numerous things for the American Cancer Society.
Absolutely. October, of course, is a very busy month for the Pinktober events for breast cancer, but all the way along. And a lot of times people will say, why would you want to have somebody come in and make people laugh for a serious cause? And, of course, the answer is people should feel good when they're contributing. And if they don't have a good time this year, they won't come back next year.
And I can tell that about you, too, because you do have a good heart. I can tell it in your comedy because there's not an ounce of meanness or anything. It's would you say observational?
Yes, it comes from your life experiences. I'm not going to say they're all true. The clip that you made me, a flight attendant told me, and somebody else says, I think that's an old joke. I said, well, if you listen to the beginning, I say, I asked the flight attendant, and this is what she told me. Most of the time, you wouldn't have that. You just say the truth. I was on a train going blah, blah, blah. But it's life experiences that people can relate to, but you and I both know they are slightly embellished.
There
can be. There is an art to embellishment.
There's an art. And speaking of that, I want to play here, and because you said you've been at, I believe, at both ends of the spectrum on this, but I'm going to play a little minute and 39 seconds of your comedy on teenage daughters.
I have a sense of humor. I also think it's important to look for the humor around us every single day. I was in an airport. And I always try to listen and just watch. And I became aware of a heated argument behind me, three or four rows back. It was awkward because it was so loud, and I turned this way like I didn't hear it. The argument was between a teenager and her mother, and they were arguing over a boy. I know this argument. I have been a teenager. I am a mother. I am a grandma. I could have taken either place from these people right here. Either place. The teenager was saying, you can take me on this trip, and you can take away my cell phone. But when we get home, I am too going out with him. Well, it was so awkward. I looked to see if anybody else was eavesdropping like I was, and it was amazing. Everybody in the gate area had just become interested in, like, a light bulb. And one man's tying his shoe back and forth, back and forth. But a second later, I found out we were all listening because we all burst out laughing at the same time when the teenager said, he is too a nice boy. Why else would he be doing 200 hours of community service?
You know, do you agree? You have about, I just think it is the, and I think people in our audiences, and this was what people bring me in to say, y'all like that, we can look at the world through humorous eyes, or we can look through those other eyes and everything's wrong. And you have developed for your work that ability. You might not have put it that way, but after reading about you, which I did before coming on, of course, you look at the world through humorous eyes, and that's all you have to do. You just go around looking for waiting for people to say, if I'm waiting to speak and the banner peels off the wall, I think, Eureka. You know,
it's true. You can't, like, as I say, that a lot of things, well, I do my comedy, and I'm telling people, and they go, that's so funny what you made up about your mother. And I go, what do you mean made up? That really happened. Oh, no, that couldn't have happened. Yes, it did. That really happened. I like that you said I've been at both ends of the spectrum.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I started putting out these DVDs, and that's how I got on the Serious
right.
and then
Let's
the thing and
it.
All of that.
Well, your DVDs, the catch how is, many? How many?
Well, number 7 came out in December, and but my point in telling, I really wasn't pushing them. Well, maybe I was a little. But
yeah, come on,
the,
let's push them.
But my friends at home in North Carolina say, Jeannie, if you have a story and you don't have somebody that you want to tell it on, you can use my name. Anybody wants to see it on my DVDs? And my sister says, you haven't ever told a story about me. I wanted more. I got one on this last one.
I use two names, Susan and Lisa. They're the people.
They come up. Well, you know what I started doing, and this is kind of funny. The stories are so based on truth that when we tape the last 4 DVDs, we have the people that the story's about come and sit in the audience, and the camera picks them up, and people say, you mean this stuff really does happen? And, of course, they swear that whatever I say, they go along with it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, they're just good friends. But, you know, it's fun. It's fun. We say it's humor. You can bring your mama to the show or you can bring your teenager. It doesn't matter.
That's right. Well, your show is, it's so good for everyone. Oh, by the way, I got to mention, because the chat room is buzzing. I can't even count all the chatters in here. Who's on there? Let me see. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, I see. Oh, Lola's on there? Oh, good. Lola Astanova's on it. Yes, Lola, I did get in there. And to remind you that Donald Trump will be there and Dame Julie Andrews. I just said Julie Andrews.
Oh.
And
oh
we all love
gosh.
Her. Well,
yes.
You're both the same height. and that you can go to www.lolaastanova.com, and also Carnegie. The tickets are at the Carnegie Hall box office. You can get them there. Oh,
and
my goodness.
What?
And you've got another radio show.
But they've got, 3 weeks to get the tickets.
Oh,
and
get them now.
Get
but you've
good
got
ones,
another,
I'll hang up now.
I must tell you, and Jeannie, that you've got Jeannie. Jeannie with a G is all I know. But Jeannie, you've got another radio show fan listening, a big fan of yours, Betty Jo Tucker from Real Talk Radio.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
And she's listening to you all the way, and I think she's in Colorado. You got any films coming out? Because she reviews a lot of films.
No, I wish I did.
Let me ask you that. How can you have not been picked up for one film somewhere along the line?
Well, you know, it's not something I even aspired to. I have been so busy as a professional speaker on the road for 35 years, almost 25 days a month. Now, that doesn't mean you have 25 speeches. You know that.
Yes.
The travel. And now, because we've opened, let's see, I guess 2 years ago, the people approached me and said, Jeannie, we think it's time for you to have theater shows around the country. And I said, well, that's great. Who are we going to get to come? Because I'm so geared into, I don't have to worry about the audience. I just go to the convention, and the meeting planner and the group will have my audience sitting right in front of me.
And you've got quite the schedule. Let's give them your website so they can find that out. Is that www? And that's JeannieRobertson.com.
Jeannie, whatever you want. But
and go to that website for a schedule because it is you are booked until what is that, April?
Well, what we did is that's the schedule for winter and spring, and there's 17 theater shows, but here's the catch, Nancy. When you've been in one business for 45 years and now the last 48, you got this other, the last three more. I'm not giving up my day job. So the schedule you're looking at is the schedule that's open, the ticketed events. And there are 17 shows around the United States in really nice big theaters. And we started last year. We put our toe in. And, you know, it was crazy. It worked. And so this year we're going back to some places like Dallas and Atlanta and those, and with a different show, of course, because there's plenty of material off. And so you don't want to use the same show. But then we'll announce another schedule for the fall. But between those, if you see all of those on the weekend, then the other days I'm going to do my regular convention speaking. And sometimes I take my husband left brain with me. And sometimes
let's see. I have here, Betty Jo, it's Movie Addict Head. Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Addict Headquarters, is listening.
Oh, okay.
And I love her
I'm
show.
I'm ready to star. I'm ready just whenever they need a 6'2" grandmother.
Betty's actually two great books out, too. Betty Jo Tucker at Movie Addict Headquarters. She's on Blog Talk Radio, and it's pretty much a tribute to you. I can't even count the people in the chat room. That's how many people are in the chat room right now. They're all new. They're nobody I know. It's all new.
Well, good. Well, I think she's a good interviewer. Y'all need to keep coming back. Here's the catch. You know, we quiver down here.
Your CDs. You have CDs, too. So
CDs and DVDs. And somebody said, well, you know, you don't need CDs anymore because everybody's just downloading. I said, you know, the secret is knowing your audience. My people have CDs. I'm big with truckers. They want my stuff in the truck. And so you can also download on iTunes, but we have them all at JeannieRobertson.com. And we ship out every day. We have it all down pat. And,
are you on Amazon as well, or should they go to
I'm on all of it.
iTunes. You can download the MP3s on iTunes.
That's
You can go to her website, JeannieRobertson.com.
Yes.
You have Amazon as well, but you go directly to her website. I think you get a bigger bang for your buck out of that.
We call it the Shrine. There's more information on that website than you would ever want to know about another human being.
Is it Jerry or Left Brain?
Left Brain. Husband's Jerry. But, you know, the catch is that you, as you age, and I am, you know, approaching 70, if I came out right now and told all the stories about being a 6'2" contestant and the Miss America pageant, a basketball player, they would be funny, but that was 50 years ago. So your material grows as you do. And in the 90s, I start, as you age, and I started talking about my husband as he was and calling him left brain. And Nancy, a phenomenon has been born, and he doesn't even know it. He can't get a grasp on it because the one clip that has, I think, 4.5 million hits, Don't Send a Man to the Grocery Store, is about me sending left brain to the grocery store. And this is not a male bashing. I would say, now, I'm not male bashing because there are women who are left brain.
No, you don't.
You and I both know it's mostly men. And he's a great sport. And people say, why doesn't left brain have his own Facebook page? Why? And I said, you don't understand. He's clueless about all of this. It's just that, but the things that he does, and I've hit a nerve because so many people will say, she's not in my house. This is what my husband would do. You know, this is it. This is.
Oh no, I have a clip here. If we have time, I'll get in. I should have scheduled you for an hour because it's going fast and your clips are long. But I want to say that you got another radio show because I'm multitasking. If I get anybody's show wrong, you've got another show and George Bettinger at Mom and Pop, the Mom and Pop Shop and 106 Mix, and that's based out of Florida, but it's worldwide.
Wow.
And they're listening to you. I just want to do a shout out to George and contact you. George, you should play some of her comedy bits on your show because he has a comedy show, Mom and Pop. It's a terrific show.
Yep.
But I think he would love your comedy, and I'm going to try I'll give him who was I talking to, Chris? I'll give Chris the information.
You know what, Nancy, the catch is you're naming all these people. This is not a credit to me. This girl is a credit to you because they're listening to your show. I can pick up on that.
You got two radio shows listening. I think that's pretty good. You got two radio shows listening to you right now. And his show's on at 4 o'clock every day in the Mom and Pop Shop. And, Nancy, share any info you want. Okay, yeah, all right. I'll get the info for today's show on there today, George, for this show. So
and I've got my Facebook
page. Re-listen to you. And also you can join Jeannie on Facebook, which I've got to go out and do after this show. And, Jeannie, I'm going to play now. We have some time. I'm going to play just so people get a little taste of left brain, and you know how long this piece is. So you got 6 minutes to get your cup of coffee. But here it comes.
Okay. And let me say quickly, go to comedywithclass.com for tickets to all my shows that are open to the public.
Let me do that.
How about that? Comedywithclass.com.
And now in New York. In New York.
In New York.
You go to comedywithclass.com. I'm telling you to go. Are you listening? Comedy
with Class. I got it.
Okay.
And we'd say, well, all right.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to get a little left brain in on us here. Here we go. Get a cup of coffee.
But wait. I don't want you to think that I went over there and embarrassed the county by what I was wearing. I looked very good. I got help from my friend Jane Tucker from New York City. She has a daughter 6'4", so she knows how to help tall people find some clothes. She came down here to go through my closet and Tuckerize me for pageant week. And she said, trying to line up all of my clothes, do you have a pashmina? I said, I don't think so. I've had all my shots. She said, no, Jeannie, a pashmina. You wear it when it's not too cold and not too hot. It's just something that you have on. I said, well, we wear little sweaters for that. She said, you need one. I'm going to send you a black one. Left brain said, don't let her do it. Don't let her do it. She's going to send something from New York City. There's no telling what this is going to cost. Well, the pashmina came. I just want to know for my information. Y'all know what it is. It's a shawl. It is a shawl like our grandmother had. Left brain looked right at it. He said, name it a pashmina. Raise the price on a shawl. Send it from New York City. I said, stop going in circles. It's apparent you don't know the style in New York City. But when I put it on, it wasn't stylish like I had seen Jane. I just put it on. It was a shawl. Next time I was with her, I saw why. She doesn't just put it on. She puts it on. She swirls that pashmina and takes this side, tosses it over this shoulder, flips up her chin. She tosses it over this shoulder, flips up that chin. So I was standing in front of the mirror trying to do this. Left brain said, what are you doing? I said, you don't know the style in New York City. Leave me alone. But when I flipped it up here, it kept falling down. So I called Jane Tucker and I said, Jane, I think my pashmina needs a little snaps up here to keep it in place. She said, it doesn't need snaps. What you need is an attitude. When you toss, flip it over your shoulder, you stare at your shoulders. It wouldn't dare come off. So I swirled that thing and tossed, flipped, and tossed, flipped, and then I stared them down, buddy. Left brain says, I said, you don't know the style in New York City. I got a speech in New York City, and I called Jane Tucker, and I said, just make sure I'm in style in New York City. What do you think I ought to wear? She said, black, nothing but black. Did y'all know this in New York? Black. She said, it's a dirty city. I said, I've always heard that. I can't wait to hear about it. She said, no, people go to work, then they go to the theater, and they go to dinner. They keep on the clothes all day, cars riding by, cabs. Splash your stuff on. If you wear pale colors like you women do in the South, you'll be dirty by 3 o'clock. Wear black. Bring your black skirt, your black sweater, jewelry, your black slacks, and don't you forget that black pashmina. I had it all out. Jerry was packing his stuff. He said, what is all this black? I said, this is all I'm taking. He said, has somebody passed? Are we going to a funeral in New York City? I said, you don't know the style of New York City. You just get your clothes, but don't stand near me. The night before my speech, they had a reception in the hotel across the street. We were to go. I wore my black skirt, black sweater, jewelry, and we were leaving. And I said, wait a minute, let me get my black pashmina, because when we come back, it will be nippy. And we went over and went up that escalator to the mezzanine level. They had a big portrait of their keynote speaker, and I had on heels, which made me 6'4". Everybody knew who I was. And if there's one thing we do know how to do in the South, it's float around the room. I went around meeting everybody. And after about an hour, I came back over to Left Brain. I said, it's time for us to leave. Let's move over toward the escalator. And when we got up there to the top of it, I said, back it up. I'm going to put on my pashmina. And I swirled that thing around, and I tossed, flipped, and I tossed, flipped, and I stared it down, and it wouldn't have moved. And down the escalator we went. People came looking over. I gave them my pageant wave. Got to the bottom of the escalator. A woman came up and said, excuse me, why do you have a pair of black slacks wrapped around your neck? I couldn't speak, but Left Brain could. He said, because it's a dirty city. She said, there's a zipper hanging down your back, wide open at the waistband here. I had taken that right leg and thrown it over here, the left leg and thrown it over there and stared them down. She says, it looks like a man or something was sitting on your shoulders and fell over and just slid out of the pants. I don't even remember leaving the hotel. The next thing I knew, we were out on the street, and I was holding it on to the building. Left Brain was fanning me. I was about to pass myself. And I said, I just cannot believe this is happening. And right there is when I talk about accepting things you can't change and keeping a smile on your face. Because right there, he said, I thought it looked funny when you put it on. You saw that I had a pair of black slacks wrapped around my neck and a zipper standing wide open, and you didn't think anything was wrong. And that's where his Left Brain kicked in on it. He said, I did think something was wrong. I thought it should have been zipped. Well, it gets worse. Going across the sidewalk trying to get back to our hotel, I was muttering and mumbling and everything else, and I guess finally I said, I just can't believe you didn't say something. He said, I started to, honey, but as we both know, I don't know the style in New York City.
Isn't that fun? You were mentioning a while ago people that have passed or gone on. So many. I use a lot of physical humor. A lot of people say I like the DVDs so much more than the CDs because I can see you putting on the pashmina and going on. You know, Lucille Ball and Carol Burnett, of course, still here, with the queens of physical comedy, and Don Knotts, from the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. In that character, he was just the king of it, and we have some now. And then you have people who could just make a face and just look at the audience and then
Well, also, it's your timing, because I noticed when I watch you, much like George Burns would signal with his cigar that it was time to laugh, you take a pause as to say, and you know what's coming.
Yeah, I just have fun. If I'm having fun, I figure they are too. And it's just, I feel so lucky to get to do all this, and then I'm sure you do too.
Well,
you've done a lot of interesting things.
On the chat room, Betty Jo Tucker said, "What a great story, Jean." She said she's also a Pashmina girl.
I know it. I'm telling you. I love to tell it when I go up to New York City too. And we're not confident yet to take a ticketed show there, and the people who buy the ticket, when are you coming to New York, and your name recognition and that kind of thing, we're creeping that way. but I speak up there for conventions a lot, and they love
that
story.
Must contact me when you're in New York City. You definitely
I'll
must contact me. We'll go to the Friars Club. Betty Jo is a big fan of yours. You have to do a movie, I think. How nobody has snapped you up as a personality, I don't know.
Well, you're kind. What happened? What has happened to me is almost phenomenal because of, I'm past president of the National Speakers Association. I live at home. I'm on the trustees of Elon University. I mean, I live this one life, and then you go out of town, and you're doing stand-up, basically. But because of everything that's happened, I'm telling you, social media, if you're my age and you're in business and you're not into it, you're out of the business, is what I tell speakers, because it's made such a difference in what I'm doing. And the last 3 years have changed everything so much that we're just really, really getting our toe in that. And it's not, I've had so many people say, "Look, you finally made it, you're over here." They're just side by side. They're two different businesses, but in both of them, I get to have the microphone and I get to be funny.
And you're right.
I want.
You're right on both levels. That the DVD and the CD. I am. My husband is Mr. Computerhead, and everything has to be. He's going to download it, digitize it, put it on. I'm like, no. I want the CD to put in there, physically put in to think. And we do have CDs, and I listen.
Yep.
You could listen while you're baking, while you're cooking, while you're typing, while you're doing invoices to yourself, or spend a nice New Year's Eve at home with one of your DVDs for humor.
Either way.
Bring in the New Year's. And that's at Robertson.com. But it's just so funny the way you have a great outlook on everything. And
I lost my train of thought. There you go at 68. But when this all happened, somebody wanted to in the L.A. last summer when we had a show out there, one of the tickets, to do a thing on what has happened because of social media. It was a technology show. And I was thrilled because where I live, in a little town in North Carolina, she's going to be on a show out of L.A. And then they call the show, I love this, Grandma Goes Viral. My friend said, "Well, we thought it'd be something better than Grandma Goes Viral." I said, "You don't understand my business. That's fantastic." So it's just
because you became a YouTube sensation as well.
Absolutely, and my audience has always been older, and they had those CDs. It's been older as I've gotten older. I can tell you all those pageant stories, Nancy, but hey, come on. But to tell you the current things and what's happening. SiriusXM has taken it down to a lower audience because they tend to attract a lower audience. So I'm just having
actually,
a good time.
Actually, SiriusXM is bigger than you think now. Talk about that, because all the high-end cars come with Sirius now.
That's exactly right.
So it's high-end, and that's how I was listening to you and go, wait a minute, when I started to YouTube you, and I was like, I know her. I've been listening to her all along.
Well,
and I believe I used to watch you. What TV? I know you were on TV, right?
I don't know, unless somebody plays it promoting a show or something like that. And I've done some interviews and things like that, but it's a different world. We're just having a good time
I want to, because we got 5 minutes here, I want to get the name of your tour. Is the Looking for Humor National Tour?
Yeah, last year, it's all sponsored by Comedy with Class, is the name of the big company that they've got now out of Nashville.
Comedy with Class.
ComedyWithClass.com. Last year's shows were Comedy with Class, and this year, the new tape is called Looking for Humor. And so, do you hear the Southern accent, Looking for Humor? And so the tour is Looking for Humor, and it's just Jeannie Robertson. And what I try to do is, just like you would do for a speech, you keep records. So if you, you know, if you go into one town one year, Charlotte, North Carolina, or Atlanta, then you, if you go back the next, you tell a different set of stories. So we're just having a good
time. I would never remember.
Oh, I couldn't remember what I told yesterday if I didn't write it down. And then, of course, the catch is the more you travel, the more you do, then the more opportunities you have to look for humor that's around you all the time.
Which is what a stand-up comedian does. The first thing you go and go, what's the worst restaurant to eat in this town? What's the best restaurant? And then, you know.
There you
know,
you go. You take off.
And you take off from there. And that's what you do with your comedy. And you seem to turn it into, you seem to be the poster child for not sitting still at 68.
Oh,
and,
I think we've got time. I have to rush this in. We've been selling these tapes, you know, for years now. We put the first one out, I think, in 98. And everybody says, you have to go to fulfillment. Well, you know, I wasn't sure if I wanted to pay all that. So I hired friends. Tony had run in my office for 33 years. And so she says, I'll take over all shipping. You pay us that money, you pay them. Well, when I was on this SiriusXM show earlier this month for 2 hours, they then replayed it 8 times. On Blue Collar Comedy, which meant in 3 days I was on over 18 hours, and we got slammed. So we were calling in neighborhood people, come and help us package up. Norma Rose, get over here, package up these boxes. And we had an assembly line going, and then this is, it could be a sitcom.
You have to do me a favor, and you have to get a camera and set it up and start taping yourself, because Betty Jo Tucker said this should at least, your life should at least be a documentary.
I would love it. Well, last Thursday, I mean, I'm saying, we can still get some more out. Look at all these orders, because it's Christmas, and there's a new tape, and we've had this exposure. My own friends came in and said, I can almost see Ethel saying to Lucy, we're not shipping anymore. We're through. You cut this off. This is out of hand. We want Christmas. I said, no, this is when we're making money. Come on, y'all. No. We've done this for 3 weeks, and we're not doing it anymore. I said, you're all turning into elves. You know,
that's a terrific story, but that is what I think that you will make someday. This, you got to start filming it, even if you get yourself a little handheld camera, and just start filming it and taping it, and then just let some grandchild or nephew put it together as footage, because it would make a great documentary. And as we wind down, I want everybody to go to www.jeannierobertson.com. And what is it, Classy?
You know, Comedy with Class.
ComedyWithClass.com.
Comedy. Or just go to jeannierobertson.com, and it has the shows listed and where you can get to, you know, how to get tickets and that kind of thing.
Get tickets and where you can also see her perform next. And you've been a wonderful guest today.
Thank you. You're a great interviewer. I appreciated it. So,
and
y'all have a happy new year.
And you too. And I want to hook you up with George Bettinger's Mom and Pop Shop 106. I'm going to send them your reps information and hook you up. And I think he should play some of your comedy clips on his show, because he does do a lot of comedy. And besides being a very funny show, and Betty Jo, my friend and fellow radio show, who I always get, it's Movie Attic Headquarters, Betty Jo. And she's in Pueblo, Colorado, and she says if you're ever there, you must let her know.
Okay, I'll do it. And we're getting ready to put up a new YouTube clip right after the year flips over.
So go to YouTube, everybody. Jeannie Robertson.
Go to YouTube.
And today's sponsor, again, it's a great cause. I'm going to play you out on some of her music. Lola Astanova will be at Carnegie Hall, a tribute to Horowitz. You can go to www.carnegie.org and www.lolaastanova.com. But above all, go to jeannierobertson.com and tune in to what will be the latest rage in not-so-granny viral of YouTube.
Okay.
And let's play you out on a little Nutcracker Suite, because you're sweet, Jeannie, and thank you for being a guest on today's show.
Happy New Year.
Jeannie Robertson, Happy New Year. Get her DVDs and CDs available online. Thank you. ¶¶ benefit for the American Cancer Society, Donald Trump, Dame Julie Andrews as a special guest. And she'll be playing at Carnegie Hall box office, www.carnegiehall.org. And thank you, Betty Jo, for listening at Movie Attic Headquarters and George Bettinger at 106 Mix Mom and Pop Shop. Also a shout-out to Michelle Ballin, www.michelleballin.com and Horizon Giggles. You for everything you need in entertainment. Ah, Jeannie Robinson. Wasn't she great? Robertson. I love that woman. Okay, get her CD. Thank you for listening.